In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is offensive. His cross is offensive. Here is your God, dear Christian. Here is your God on a cross, bloodied, battered, beaten, bruised, dying. And this is how he wants you to see him. Yes, he's risen in glory, majestic in every way. And frankly, we like that better so we don't have to look at his gruesome cross, but he is constantly pulling our attention back to that cross. It is his greatest picture of love. It is his victory. It is your comfort and your hope. We preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block, foolishness, the power of God. And so we desire to know nothing else except a God who died for us. The cross contradicts our emotions. It contradicts our intellect. It contradicts everything that we know and want. We want images of glory, might, and power, not images of weakness, suffering, and humility. But Christ is not politically correct. He calls a spade, he doesn't sugarcoat it, he speaks the truth. He points out your sin. He shows the severity of your sins. He makes you confront and confess them, and so we pause for a brief moment to contemplate our sins, and we always think that moment is just a little bit too long. It makes us squirmy. He doesn't validate man's religion or their version of Christianity. He validates the truth. He validates the cross, even when many do not want to hear it. The law is not the primary offender in all of this, but the gospel offends. The gospel divides. God's grace offends. How precious few want to hear Christ and nothing else. How precious few run to holy absolution to hear the very voice of the gospel. How few set aside everything else on Sunday morning, whether work or even rest, family time, play time, all else, just to be in the presence of Christ and receive his grace. How few desire to receive the Holy Communion and demand that their pastors give it to them. We're quick to point the finger at other people who are driving by, but the finger points back at us. We have desired something more than the gospel, something exciting, something engaging, thought-provoking, or beautiful. We want the majestic glory of the risen, returning Lord, not the humility of the crucified Lord. And yet his majesty and glory is most clearly on display at the cross. That is the glory of your God. And if that were not enough, he comes to you to say, pick up your cross and follow me. In fact, if you do not pick up your cross and follow me, then you are not worthy of me. He's not politically correct. He doesn't sugarcoat it. He's not so much concerned about how you feel, but he is concerned about your salvation. He speaks the truth. And the truth often hurts. Our lives do immediately change upon baptism. It involves picking up a cross and following Christ in humility, and very often also suffering. There's no promised glory on this earth, no oath of peace or prosperity for the here and now. Just look at John. He sits in prison. The greatest prophet, as Jesus calls him, the greatest prophet, silenced, barely into his 30s. And he cannot help but wonder if he really was right. He spent his entire ministry pointing to Christ, but was it all worth it now that he sits in prison? The Christ was supposed to come and free people from prison, and there John sat. He was to comfort, there John sat. He was to bring peace, still John sat. He was to bring hope and consolation, still John sat. He was to set Israel free from all her enemies and be the great ruler over heaven and earth. And there John sat in prison, rotting. The armies of Israel are nowhere to be seen. The armies of angels standing down in heaven, leading the greatest man born from woman in a prison with little hope and no way out. The gospel is offensive because it makes us wait, and we do not like waiting. And while we wait, we endure these hardships and difficulties. It grinds at our very core. Intellectually, we don't get it. Emotionally, we don't want it. Why must we go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God? Why must we sit in this prison of sorts, waiting, while Christ is in heaven, enjoying all the glory that is his from eternity? Why not us with him? If he truly is the ruler of heaven and earth, why can't we have just a little taste of it now? It's not our sins that really harass us the most, though they do, but it's the wars, the terrorists, the natural disasters, and the uncertainties of life. Closer to home, the surgeries, the broken relationships, the politics in every decision. Like a small child with a cut, we're in pain. We want relief, and we cry out for help. And at times, God gives it to us, but we know full well that we will fall and skin our knee yet again. It is those emotional tears, those emotional scrapes that bleed the most, the broken relationships, the ineptitude, the financial pain. We try to learn how to cope, how to move on. We try to fix it and teach others and encourage them. We plow through yet another day, another week of the same thing, having the same conversations with the same stubborn people. And we can feel like we are in a prison of sorts without any hope or any way out. And so we look at Christ and we ask him why. After all, we follow him, we follow God, we follow Christ. Can't we get a little help, a little something to make our lives better? Our lives are no different than the unbelievers, those who do not follow Christ. We still get sick, we still have sorrows, we still have pain, we still have bad relationships. They're no different. We pray and we pray, but as soon as one hardship departs, another one seemingly enters. We receive his Holy Communion, and at times we walk away feeling no different whatsoever. The gospel is offensive. Christianity is offensive because it makes us wait. His cross, Christ, he's offensive to our natural reason. But blessed are you who are not offended by him. Blessed are you who endure the insults and the crosses, who pick up your cross and follow Christ in faith. For God's kingdom is not of this world. John does not look like the forerunner of any great king. He's in prison. And outside of prison, he wore camel's hair and a leather belt. When you look at our bodies and our chaotic lives and the things we go through on a daily basis, we do not look like citizens of any glorious kingdom. But then again, our king does not look glorious on his cross. Do not be offended by his lack of pomp. Do not be scandalized by his cross. But rather rejoice. Yes, rejoice in the salvation he has won for you. Rejoice even in the midst of these hardships. Because Jesus is the Christ, the promised Messiah, the very Lamb of God. He came to heal by his word. He spoke and he cured. He touched and he brought healing. He comforted and he gave peace. And he removed the hardships and difficulties from countless people who came to him. And he does the same thing for you through his ministers. Through the preaching of the gospel, he opens your eyes to see the glory of his cross and the glory that is yours through his cross. And so see everything, the good and the bad in life, the joys and the sorrows. See it all through his cross. For then you will look past these difficulties and you will find a city whose streets are paved with gold and whose gates are crafted out of the finest pearls. He steadies your knees and strengthens your feet so that you can pick up your cross without buckling underneath it. He is with you to uplift you and support you. He has cured you from the leprosy of your sin at holy baptism by pouring his blood on you. You are washed clean from every stain. Yes, you fall. You scrape your knees again and again, and sometimes far worse. But he is there to restore you with that simple word of forgiveness. And your flesh is like that of a newborn child. He comes to give you ears. So listen when he says to you, "It is finished." It is finished for you. Listen, hear his voice when he says, "I forgive you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." He does not leave you. He does not forsake you. But he goes with you wherever you go. And in him you are free. You are free. Truly, you are free from all the burdens and even from all your sins. So live in the freedom of that gospel and do not yoke yourself to sin by worrying or by questioning, "Why me?" Live in his gospel, for he has raised you to a new and glorious life. He has breathed into your dusty body the breath of life, and you are now a living being. He has called to you from your grave, "Come out." And you who once were dead came out alive in Christ. You live in his resurrection. You live by his resurrection because you live in his cross and by his cross, and the two cannot be separated. And so you cannot die, but you must live. Your frailty cannot harm you. You must live. Your flesh must be restored, its energy revived. Your hardships cannot tear you down and keep you from heaven. You must pass through them into that city of heaven. So instead of being offended by him, how can you not rejoice? Yes, there are still hardships and difficulties. They will be there as long as you live on this earth. But the Son has set you free, and you are free indeed. So do not worry about them. Do not be anxious, but in everything with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. He hears you. You go through the same trials and tribulations that Christians throughout time have gone through, and he has gotten them through. He is faithful. He will be faithful to you also. These trials and hardships are God-given opportunities to live by faith, not by sight, to live by his word, not by how you feel or your intellect. And when others see you enduring your hardships with patience and even at times with joy, that is the greatest witness to them of your faith. Even if you cannot get out of your house and do the things you once were able to do, even though your life is not where you wish it were, you still wait in patient hope. So live in that faith. Live by the foolishness of his cross. Check your emotions at his cross. Submit your intellect to his cross. It is hard. It is difficult. It is offensive to our flesh, because the gospel makes us wait. There is no glory here on this earth. There is no wealth or prosperity here on this earth. At least nothing lasting. But it is in heaven for you. It rests in heaven for you. For God has given it to you through his ministers again and again. And so you come into this space dragging in your baggage behind you with all your cares and worries on your shoulders. And you ask him one simple question. Tell me again. Tell me again. Are you the Christ? And his answer? Yes. Look at my cross. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.